say this morning. Huh? Praise God. I'm telling you, hey, if we're saved by the grace of God, there are some things in life, church, that we see just a little more clearly than that lost crowd out there sees. Huh? Come on in the house, children. We'll sing again in just a little while. Right now it's preaching time. Son, it's time that this Laodicean church of ours anointed their eyes with eye salve that we might behold great and wondrous things out of His law. What'd you come to see this morning? I'm going to tell you what little old Solomon said. He said, thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon that are right beside the gate of Beth Rabbah. Now he's describing the church. And he said that your eyes are like those fish pools that are beside the gate of Beth Rabbah. I don't know much about those fish pools, except what secular history tells me. I can't find them in the Word of God, but I can tell you what secular history says. Secular history says that the water in those pools were so clear, so crystal clear, that you could behold from the very surface all the way to the bottom of that pool and everything that was in it. And God said there that His bride, the church, that her eyes are likened to those pools. I want to preach for a little while this morning, if God will help me, on seeing things more clearly. Seeing some things more clearly. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm afraid that we live in an age when the church, when many people are blinded, and many are blurred, and very few have a vision that is bright. But, oh, I'm glad, hey, if we want to draw up close to the bosom of God, my friend, we can see some things more clearly. And I am not preaching on this morning, but I tell you, my heart is wrung out for what is going on in America and the turmoil that seems to be in our land, in the churches, when people are in chaos and confusion in the house of God and worried sick to death about what's going on in our land. Son, if we had read the Bible and studied the Bible, God would open up our eyes and help us to realize that these things must come to pass before our redemption, my friend, arises. But hey, I'm telling you, lift up your eyes, because our redemption this morning is drawing nigh. We are getting ready to get out of this world. And we ought to be shouting the victory instead of acting like a bunch of mop heads, bless God. Seeing things a little more clearly. Those pools now. That water was clear. And that reveals at least two things to me. One, that as the bride of Christ, and we are His bride, and those pools represented her eyes, and as the bride of Christ, that we ought to be able to see things more clearly about our husband than what the world. Turn these air conditioners on. I see Miss Ruth's eyes are drooping. Don't want no drooping eyes. Hey, that if we're saved by the grace of God and living nigh to God, that we ought to be able to see our heavenly bridegroom more clearly than those that are living without. Is that right or not right? I'm going to tell you, who knows more about me than any person in this world is my bride. Huh? That's right, friend. She knows about my love. She knows about my hurts. She knows about my sorrows. She knows things about me that are kept secret from other folk. Oh, and I'm telling you, as a child of the King, friend, as the bride of the Lord Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom, I'm glad, thank God, that we can see things more clearly about Him than what the world can see. I understand more about the love of God. And son, you can call me whatever you want to call me. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me, but I wasn't looking for God. But son, God come a-looking for me and set His affection and His divine love upon me. And with cords of kindness, He drew me to Calvary. Oh, and opened up my blinded eyes that I might see. Unstopped my ears that I might hear, and imputed righteousness into my soul, and gave me life, and that eternal and everlasting, and it's been abundant on this side as well. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. I see. Hey, now I'm going to say something else. That's right. Something else, secondly, as a child of God, we ought to have an insight into spiritual matters that the world does not have. I'm telling you, I've never seen an hour when Baptists that claim to be saved are so blind to truth as what they are now. I think there's a reason for that. I want to try to help us this morning. We're living in an hour of great delusion, friend. That's right. God is sending a strong delusion upon this earth. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm not so sure a little of it ain't crept into the house of God. When men are believing a lie, and they're going to be damned by it, friend. But oh, is that little bride, we see things a little more clearly. 1 Corinthians 2:14 said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." That's exactly what some of y'all think about me up here preaching this morning. What is wrong with that fool? What in the world? Why didn't we go on and sing? Why didn't we go on and sing some hymns and try to get God in the service? I'm trying to tell you right now, son, there's more God in the service than most of you have recognized this morning. I felt Him when I walked in the front door, felt Him in the men's prayer room, felt Him in the pulpit, and praise God, I'm feeling pretty good right now. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why, Brother Hall? For they are spiritually discerned. Son, I'm telling you, if there's a thing lacking today, it's a little spiritual discernment. Amen to God. Some of you looking kind of strange. Ain't not much spiritual discernment today. No, that's right, son. We're like those two men on the road to Emmaus. God Almighty, church, has walked in our midst for the last 2 years. And has been unrecognized by the bulk of this church. And I wonder, my God, will our eyes ever be opened that we might see things more clearly? Huh? Very little spiritual discernment. Go to camp meetings. Men never, very seldom preach to the need. There were 5 out of 14 that hit the nail on the head in our meeting. And I know some of you don't like Billy Ball, but Billy Ball was one of them. John Gray was one of them. Albert Hardin said word come back in his teeth, but Albert Hardin was one of them. Whoa! What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the nail was hit on the head, but the move was not made in the right direction to loosen the church, that the power and the blessings of God might fall upon us. I know I am, Brother Doug. I want don't say what Brother Ball said, and I'm not. This is not my thought, but it's always a woman. And you're welcome. You are welcome. I got to say this now. I've noticed folks leaving the house of God turn their head in the opposite direction just to keep from looking at me, much less speaking to me. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Hall. Hey, I ain't never let that kind of mess roll on. Don't intend to let it roll on much longer, ma'am. You got two choices. Get right. Or we going to talk about her on the floor one at a time there. But she's going to be made right.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't see that." I'm telling you that you ought to be drawn up close to God, spiritual discernment, and see things a little more clearly. Then I didn't come in on a load of pumpkins. Well, you mistreated me. You'd have a hard time proving that in a court of law. And we're Christians. We don't go to a court of law. We judge in the house of God. What? Know you not that you'll judge angels? If you're worthy to judge angels, are you not worthy to judge a matter in the house of God? I won't charge you nothing now, children. I'm talking about seeing things more clearly. I'll get to the message in a minute. What are you going to do about 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Somebody said, see, and that's all further we ever want to go. But the Scripture goes on to say, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There are some things that God reveals to His children by the person of the Holy Ghost. Come on in the house. Seeing a few things more clearly. Ephesians 1, 18. I have quoted this verse and read it and preached from it. But He said in Ephesians 1, 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That is, seeing things a little more clearly.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. We ought to have a greater vision of spiritual matters now than we did when we were saved.
Amen.
And there's three things Paul mentions there. I don't have time to preach all of them. But he said that you might know the hope of your calling.
Amen.
Huh? Having the eyes of your understanding enlightened that you may know the hope of your calling. I believe there's three distinct stages of Christian growth there. Beginning with the hope of our calling. Son, I remember, oh, hallelujah to God. I've never gotten over September the 13th, son, 1970. I remember that day. And the hope that God gave when He called me out of this world into His eternal light, into His glory, into His blessed relationship with His Son. When I look at the hope of His calling, I'm going to tell you one thing I see is the misery of a sinner's life.
Yeah.
Oh, how miserable. Oh, but preacher, eyes are having fun. If you think that, you are a fool yet today, friend, if you think you was having fun. It amazes me how sinners can get drunk as a monkey on Saturday night, puke their guts up on Sunday morning, and look back and say we was having fun. But my God, they can get, sick as a dog with a flu on Tuesday and start puking and say, I never felt so bad in all my life. I'm absolutely miserable. Son, puke, regardless of what produced in the puke.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right now.
Good now.
Yes. Amen. Misery. Being led with a taskmaster.
Amen.
Led about by the power of Satan. Oh, I'm telling you, the hope is calling. I saw the misery of a sinner's life unfolded. God just unfolded and let me see sin exceedingly sinful. Let me see the Savior as my all in all. Hallelujah to God. And the saints as my fellowship. I'm glad, thank God, that He turned me from death unto life and from darkness unto light. I'm glad that He brought me out of a sinner's grave and resurrected me by His power. Woo! I saw the meaningless life that sinners live. How meaningless. Vain. All is vanity. I told our men in the prayer room this morning, we're kind of apprehensive about what's going on around us. But I'm telling you, and they're worried about the stock market. It's all vanity. Meaningless. Vain. Vanity. Void. Amen. But I'm glad that the hope my calling, I saw the mercy of a sinner's deliverance. Thank God for mercy. Now, I ain't got to the message yet. Then he mentions another thing. He talks about the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. That means that he has inherited you and I, God. Somebody said, preacher, I don't know what all it means. I've looked at it a little bit. But I know one thing Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, I believe it is, that because of his inheritance, he has received a name that is above every name. It's because of the inheritance in the saints that he has been named Jesus. At that name, my friend, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It is because of His inheritance in the saints, inheriting you. We're His. Hallelujah to God. Oh, we're His divine inheritance. God the Father hath promised you and I unto Him. I'm glad, thank God, that it's that way this morning. That's why they named Him Jesus. He'll save His people from their sin. Y'all want to help me? Better help me now, because I ain't going to get too good here in a minute. That glory, the glory of His inheritance. I have been purchased. I am His possession. I am being prepared for His glory. Oh yes, God has purchased me. I'm His possession. He's preparing me for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Son, if you'll ever get a hold of that, that everything God does, He does through the counsel of His own will, and He does it to the glory and the praise of Himself. Hallelujah to God. Woo! God's not some little old gray-haired man sitting up there passing out lollipops and suckers, son. He is the sovereign God of the universe that does all things after the counsel of God's own will. And He does it for God's good pleasure, not your pleasure, not my pleasure. No, for His own personal pleasure. Well, I don't know why God's doing me the way He's doing me. He wanted to. It gave Him pleasure to do you the way He's doing you. Somebody said, I don't understand it all either. But He was satisfied when He saw the travail of the soul of the Son of God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And then Paul goes on those words to say, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? And he talks about that power that raised Christ from the grave and set Him at His own right hand. Son, I'm telling you, there's where most Baptists bog today. Oh, the exceeding greatness of His power to transform us. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, preacher, you're acting like a novice. Son, I have gotten a hold of the fact that in this body, in this flesh, dwells no good thing. But oh, there's coming a day. Oh God, hey, my Boaz has got exceeding great, mighty, wonderful power. And that power is able, my friend, to transform this vile, wretched body of mine and make it like unto His glorious body. Do you know that today? Do you believe that today? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! only power to transform, but power to translate. He said, and set him at his own right hand. He's got the power to take us into orbit. Hallelujah to God. Do you see that? I saw it. I have seen it. I am seeing it today. More than ever before. Now I've got three little points to my message, and we're going to sing some more hymns, and I don't know what we'll do. Seeing things more clearly. As those eyes like the pools of Heshbon. Amen. So clear, crystal clear. That little bride looks out of those eyes like those pools. Yeah. Sees things that others don't see. Amen. And sees them so much more clearly. Yeah. May I say to you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're looking through clear eyes. They're not muddied. They're not clouded. They're not blurred. They're not blinded. This is so simple. So simple, but I want to say one thing. You'll see the heart more clearly. You know why, folks fall into so much sin? They don't have a good view of the heart, friend. They don't say, and I'm not talking about that thing that thumps in your bosom. I'm referring to the seat of your emotions, to your soul, to the very heart of mankind, to the very being of man himself. So many folks misjudge the heart. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, we better see it good. The wisest man in all the earth made this statement. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. That is, guard it, protect it, and maintain it. That's what that word means. Not only guard it and protect it, but buddy, you better maintain it. You know why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Oh, yes, sir, buddy. Because out of that heart, he said, proceed the issues of life. If we don't tend to that little baby, don't, whatever that is on the floor, don't worry about it. Vacuum cleaner will suck them up. You better be worrying about your heart this morning. He said, out of the heart proceed the issues of life. I'm telling you, friend, right and wrong come out of the heart. How we handle this situation in Afghanistan is an issue of the heart. It's an issue of right or wrong. It's not got a thing to do with black and white, Muslim or Christian. It's got a thing to do with God and right and wrong in this world. Huh? Some of you sitting there puffed up like a toad frog this morning. Your problem's a heart. And you've been deceived by your own heart. Come on in the house, children. I want to say the heart is deceitful. You ought to be able to see that. Now stay with me. We may not be able to know the heart. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, he said. We may not be able to know it, but we know some things about it. And one thing that I know about my heart and yours too, Buckwheat, is that it's deceitful. It'll deceive you. It'll lead you astray. You better be able to see the deceitfulness that lies in the recesses of your heart, friend. Oh, I'm telling you, that thing that we call, that we consider an organ that pumps the blood. How deceitful can it be when it says in the book of Psalms that the fool hath said where, Brother Hall, in his heart, that there is no God. You're talking about a deceiving work of the devil, my friend, and the flesh of man. I'm telling you, when man fell, that heart become very deceitful, lacked spiritual discernment, did not know God. And if you rely on your heart rather than acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll lead you down a primrose path. Your heart, my friend, will lead you down that way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yes! Fool said in his heart, there is no God. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the rein. I'm going to show you how deceitful the heart is. Adam looked into his heart after he had sinned in the garden, and his heart said, cover your nakedness. And he took fig leaves and covered his nakedness and said, I'm all right.
Amen.
No different than about 90% of Baptists today.
Amen.
That put on their little fig leaf of self-righteousness and the other one, my friend, of religion, and set in the house of God and say, I'm all right. And the heart, agrees there too. Oh, but I want to say Adam was deceived, friend, until
Amen.
God came with those little coats of skins and clothed him.
Yes.
That's right. Cain thought he could work and please God. How deceived.
Amen.
Simon the sorcerer thought he was right with God, but I'm telling you, when a real man of God come on the scene, God's man put his finger at him and said, you're yet in the gall of bitterness.
Amen.
And then he was so deceived that he said, well, pray for me that the Lord will forgive the iniquity of my heart. Somebody else, sounds like Jack Hiles to me.
Amen.
Curtis Hudson or some of that crowd.
Amen.
I won't charge anything. Sir, I'll pray for you, and if you'll squeeze my hand, you're all right. Have you believed that? Sir, if you'll pray this little prayer, you'll be all right. Have you believed that? And I tell you this morning what salvation is. Simply following Christ. I challenge anybody in here to take that Bible and show me where Peter, James, and John done anything but follow him when he's called.
That's right. Amen.
Left her behind and put into following God. Oh, yeah, I say, well, see the heart more clearly. See its deceitfulness. See its depravity. I am not an Armenian, friend. There ain't a spark of divinity in you, me, or nobody else. And you hath he quickened who were dead, past tense, who were dead, how? In trespasses and sins. Hey, I am not an Armenian, friend. And hey, and that's right, you ain't going to wave a little fan and fan the fire in your bosom and get to God either.
Amen.
You mark her down. Hey, and I wonder how many people have sinned away their day of grace. Come on in the house. I wonder how many have sat on the church pews and God has reprobated.
Amen.
Somebody said, now preacher, God don't reprobate people. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in the book of Corinthians. He said, know ye not how Christ dwelleth in you except you be reprobate.
Amen.
Huh? Dead. Thank God for that living breath of the Holy Ghost. God breathed in Adam's nostrils a breath of life and he became a living soul. But I'm glad, thank God, one day the Holy Ghost breathed on my soul and I became a quickening spirit by the grace of God.
And
then the destruction of the heart. Boy, and I'll tell you right here's where I've been wanting to get to, and we ain't done yet, and I tell you. Did you know that the heart will destroy you if you let it in all thy ways acknowledge Him?
Amen.
These people that's sitting right on this church pew this morning,
Amen.
That unless you get some help from God, you listening to your deceitful heart
Amen.
Is going to destroy you.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, preacher, I've heard that before. You want me to name them? It'll destroy you.
Amen.
If you don't learn to be led by the Holy Ghost and by that book, your heart will destroy you. Somebody said what?
Amen.
Bitterness.
Amen.
Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness.
Amen.
Esau let a root of bitterness spring up and destroyed him and defiled those that were around him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, friend, that hey, and that's one thing. Look here. God didn't treat me right. Preacher didn't treat me right. Church don't treat me right. Nobody loves me. I'm having a pity party. And I'm going to tell you, if you ain't right careful, if you ain't right careful, I'm going to tell you what will happen. You will let some little old frivolous nothing stand between you, and you must be getting ready to go deer hunting. I see you growing a beard. You let some little old frivolous nothing stand between you and getting your heart right with God, and you'll grow bitter rather than get right, and you know all the time the Holy Ghost is telling you the preacher is right.
Amen.
But oh, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I don't care what the Lord says.
Amen.
And friend, hey, bitter. I could tell you a preacher right now, I wouldn't dare breathe his name. You would crucify me. This church would crucify me if I breathed. But bitterness, bitterness, bitterness is destroying him. Everybody's his enemy. Nobody loves him. Don't have it about three friends in all this world. And it's because of bitterness. You can't let what somebody else does dictate how you live your life. That crowd, my friend, cannot destroy your fellowship nor rob you of victory. Only you can do that, and that's bitterness. Now, I want to show you something, buddy, and I'm going to tell you, I've never seen this before. Not only bitterness, but what about unforgiveness? Listen to this verse of Scripture in Matthew 18:34-35. Talking about that unjust servant, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you. You. If you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know what that tells me, friend? That tells me that person that dies with that bitter spirit and that unforgiven heart, that tells me, and I've never seen this before, but it tells me plainly that you're lost.
Amen.
If you don't have the grace to forgive somebody of their cutting. Hey, I'm not saying, that's over. Now everybody thinks it's right. Baloney.
Amen.
Baloney!
Amen.
From the heart, son, I'm telling you, forgiveness demands a change of action.
Amen.
From the heart. He said God would cast him to the tormentors, friend. I wonder how many good old-timey Baptists sitting on our church pews have never forgiven. Oh, they've been approached.
Amen.
And they said, I forgive.
Yes.
From the lips out.
Right.
Amen. Won't charge you nothing for that. I'm going to tell you another thing that will destroy you. Strife.
Right.
Or if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not. You know what strife is, don't you? It's just shy of a war.
Right. Amen.
You know why we're bombing Afghanistan? War.
Right.
You know what brought it about? Strife!
Right.
God help us, folks. We're not playing games, and I'm not here to play no games. I am here to take this thing to the end of the line, buddy. I'm riding this train to the end of the line. The good conductor has already, and the engineer has already set the throttle full steam ahead, and I ain't backing up.
Amen.
See the heart more clearly. I'm trying to hurry. May I say secondly that we ought to see hell more clearly. I'm telling you, our vision of hell, friend. We make fun of Billy Graham. Oh, Graham don't really believe in the literal flames of hell. I wonder how standing a good old independent fundamental premillennial Bible-believing Baptist belief that there is a fire in hell that is ever consuming and yet never will completely consume the souls of men. We just say, we don't see hell too clear this morning.
Amen.
You know what Luke 16 says? The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments.
Amen.
Oh, he cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus just one drop of water to cool my parched tongue. But here's what Abraham told him. He said, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. You know what I put down on that? In his lifetime he had good things and Lazarus evil, but now Lazarus is comforted and you're tormented. You know what we ought to see, friend? And I'm going to tell you, I hope somebody in here this morning will see it, that guilty sinners go to hell. I don't care if they bear your name or my name, if they're guilty.
Amen.
They go to hell if they're unpardoned.
Amen.
Son, I'm telling you, Baptists today want to embrace every form. Oh, come on. We're more ecumenical than what we think we are.
Amen.
It's all right to talk about Muslims. Come on in the house, young'uns. It's all right to talk about Muslims. All right to talk about Latter-day Saints. It's all right to talk about Mormons. What are you going to do with the rest of that crowd that denies the sufficiency of Christ to save them and to keep them by His power? Come on in the house.
Amen.
Is that not right, or is that right or not? I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God. When a man says we're saved by the grace of God, cleansed by the blood, but, when he said but, he just denied the power of Christ to save and keep a man. I wouldn't give a flip if he's got Methodist over his door, General Baptist over his door, Pentecostal over his door, what he's got over his door. If he is trusting in anything other than grace, he is lost. Oh, but there are brothers in Christ. Come on in the house, youngins.
Amen.
Guilty.
Amen.
Somebody said to you, my sister wrote the other day and said, everybody said you thought you was the only one that was right. I'm not the only one that's right, but I sure believe in the doctrine I preach is right.
Amen.
Charge you a thing for that, friend. Let me ask you something. What would you do if I come in here tonight and got up and said, now we're going to speak in tongues tonight and anybody don't do it's going to hell? But I'm going to tell you what we'll do. We'll put our arms around that crowd and say, oh, they just a little confused. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're lost. My mother believed that mess for years. I'm glad she got her eyes open about 10 years before she died.
Amen.
That goes along with the message, ain't it? She got her eyes open.
Amen.
Guilty. Seeing the guilt. The guilty are there. Seeing the gulf. Now I'm going to tell you what locked in on my heart. I wanted to preach a whole message on it, and I don't know if God will let me or not. But He said, and beside all this, there is not only a gulf, but a great gulf. And that great gulf, He said, is fixed. It's fixed. There's no escape, friend. That word gulf means a vacancy. An impassable interval. It's a vacancy in time. Are you listening to me this morning? That gulf that is fixed is a vacancy in time that is called eternity. And nobody can cross that gulf. And it's fixed. It's not going anywhere. It's stationary. It's permanent. We're not Catholics, Brother Mark. Those Catholics will sit down and get to pay that stupid idiot money to pray for them, get their loved one out of purgatory. And he'll go wherever he was, or maybe at the Vatican, where was the other day, somebody said that he prayed for world peace and prayed that all hatred would depart from the heart of man. And yet you'd be surprised at Baptists that'll embrace that cult.
Amen.
Come on, the house, youngins. Oh, how we need to look back in history, Brother Mark, at the thousands upon thousands of our brethren and our forefathers that was put to death by that religious cult, and him talking about hatred leaving the hearts of people.
Right. Amen.
Brother Robert, he had slit our throat this morning if he could get by with it. They'd bring us in bondage if they could get by with it.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. Go to Mexico and tell some of those converted Mexicans down there you don't believe it. They'll laugh at you like an infidel, friend.
Amen.
I've seen them walk up in Santa Vera Mission and kiss the big toe of that stupid statue. Bow down to a statue of Mary, light their little candles, collect their little relics, lay them in their little, lay that old wooden statue of that old man in an old glass casket and walk by and kiss him on the forehead. Sprinkle their holy water.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friend, the rest of that crowd ain't a bit better that denies the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Can I read you a verse of Scripture? Benny read this with his text verse this morning. In whom we have redemption through His blood.
Amen.
Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what is grace. Forgiveness, cleansing, riches, grace, blood. And I'm telling you, friend, that is where it's at. And somebody tries to tell me where I'm going to call them a liar out to their face. I don't give a flip who they are. Somebody said, my preacher, they'll cut off the money for WSOF. Son, let them cut it off. I will not compromise what that Bible says. I've got news for you. I won't compromise for you. I don't care if it's your sister, son, mother, brother, father, uncle, aunt, cousin, whoever it might be, friend. Having fun today, the golf, the grief. He said, for we have five brethren. Have we ever seen the real grief of hell? I've got five brethren. Well, I don't remember who it was, but a preacher come here and preach one time and almost praised God because one of their loved ones was in hell. Oh, friend, what grief. Have you ever really looked into the face of a loved one that you knew died without Christ? We live in such a... And that's another deceitful thing of the heart that everybody's saved, nobody. They can go to funerals and read out NIVs and ASVs and living Bibles and everything else. But all they... And not have a pastor, never been to church in 15 years, but they're all saved. I'm telling you, friend, they're not saved. My God, could God open our eyes a little bit?
Amen.
Do you notice the Scripture doesn't say that Lazarus ever saw that rich man? We want to make excuses for people's sin. No wonder the world's where it's at, Brother Andy. We've made every excuse in the world. Well, they just didn't have a chance in life, or they got tied up in this or entangled in that. And, oh, the grief, the grief, the grief. And here's one I want the church to remember. The gates of hell. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to tell you, we have forgotten that the gates of hell are battering the doors of the church every day.
Amen.
Batter in the doors of the church. Batter in the doors of the church.
Amen.
We've forgotten that holy war. They're talking about a holy war over there. We're in a holy war, all right.
Amen.
But it's with the gates of hell.
Amen.
See our heart more clearly. As pools, the pools of thy Heshbon. We see the heart more clearly. We see hell more clearly.
Amen.
I'll close with this point. I think we're to see the harvest more clearly.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you one of the saddest verses I've ever read in the Bible. It's Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we're not saved. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Down a primrose path to hell, friend. And we as God's people need to lift up our eyes and look on the field.
Amen.
For he said it's white already. The harvest.
Amen.
You know what that word white means? What color are soybeans when they grow up, folks? They're green, aren't they? The longer they stand in the field, what color do they get? Get light. Light color. That's what the word white means, light. We come through these bottoms over here. Coming home yesterday, it was raining. I said, look at all these bottoms, Sister Hall. And the rain, look here, and the rain was beating them down. Hey, listen to me now. The rain was beating those big long soybean stems, and many of them were laying over like that. And I said, hey, if they're not careful, their harvest will rot in the field. It's white and ready to harvest. But the rain is going to make it harder and harder and harder to cultivate it and get it in. And I wrote this point down. I said, it's white. Lift up your eyes and look on the field. For they are white, all ready to harvest.
Amen.
And they are white. And by the way, it's the point I wanted to make. That white literally means that unless harvested shortly, they'll rot.
Right.
Summer is ended. Harvest is past. And we're not in out of the field. I read a message to Charles Spurgeon the other day. It must have been in the fall of the year. Spurgeon said, it seemed like that all the harvest fields around us, all the fields and crops around us have been harvested. Oh, except the Lord's harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. And it's still standing in the field.
Amen.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. What really troubles my heart is we want to quibble. Quibble over little old frivolous things in church.
Amen.
Rather than getting down to the business at hand.
Amen.
They're white. And not only are they white, they're waiting. He said they're white already.
Amen.
They're waiting. But he said in Matthew 9:27 to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's widespread. You don't have to go far to find lost people.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I wonder if we can see it. It amazes me that Jesus said, lift up your eyes. I wonder if he had been talking about maybe prophetically there a little bit about the hour that we're living in.
Right.
And God's people are so busy looking on everything else other than the souls of men.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, friend. Hearts are deceived. Souls are going to hell. And the harvest is going to be past.
Amen.
Some of you in here this morning, you're going to let the harvest pass. You're going to let your little bitter spirit and attitude drag your soul into hell without God and God.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. I said it. Because that's exactly where you're living.
Amen.
OK.
God help us. I'm glad that our eyes see things very clearly. Let's stand together, please.